Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
This week on Bowling with Favre, we got the legendary Dr. Phil.
Hey, this is Dr. Phil. Check out Bowling with Favre on any platform that you listen to your podcast. You do not want to miss it.
And coming up on next week's show, Tuesday the 30th, we're joined by rock legend and always outspoken, my friend, Ted Nugent. Subscribe now everywhere you get your podcasts or stream the show for free at podcastone.com.
Well, a lot of controversy with something we've labeled Gate-Gate coming up in this episode.
Gate-Gate.
And we get into Phil Swift and his wonderful,
making a
product.
Fan boat out of an acrylic product. Are you kidding me? Jeez.
All that coming ahead on Ace on the House. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, sure, you do one or the other, right? How about you get your bundle going? You take the automotive policy and you bundle it up with your homeowners or renters insurance. Geico makes it easy to do that. Get a quote, see just how much you could save when you bundle at Geico, because Geico makes it easy. So go to geico.com, do it today, and get your bundle on at geico.com.
This is Corolla Digital.
A master carpenter who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it, then let Ace show you how. Ace on the House.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a church. Welcome to Ace on the House. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Eric Stromer over there.
What's going on, man?
What are you working on, man?
Well, baby doll, I'm glad you asked. So the installing the quiet rock in this poker room bought a lift. And I can only say thank God. Drywall lift makes all the difference for ceiling work when those panels are so heavy, because they're really literally just like, you know, maybe two half inch pieces of drywall or a little bit thicker together. And then there's like a micro space in the center of it. Right. So it's double the weight of normal drywall.
Yeah. So Quiet rock is quite an invention, and like I said, I put it up in a bedroom, master bedroom that was up against the street, and it just made a huge difference. You do the quiet rock, and you can do the quiet windows too if you're doing a remod. And it really, you know, when the neighbor gardener shows up on Saturday at 8:15 and he fires up the leaf blower, it is not nearly as impactful as the old, you know, single glazed windows or the regular drywall or whatever it is. Like it is substantial. I don't remember it being twice as thick as regular drywall.
They call it 5/8. It is 5/8, but you know, you look at the profile of it on the unfinished ends and you see that it's like two pieces that are equaling 5/8 together. And I think they do some sort of maybe it's a bead of, you know, adhesive to keep those slightly separate.
All right. Well, Gary's going to have to look at it.
The products range from 1/2 inch to 5/8, and there's also a 1 3/8 thickness.
But you didn't go with the 1 3/8, did
you?
No,
no, no. God, no. That would
you went 5/8.
So yeah, 5/8.
Well, you said it was twice as thick, so
I'm sorry. What I meant was two pieces.
But you're seeming to indicate that there's like an air gap there, but I think there's a membrane there.
I mean, I don't think it's an air gap. I think it's, to your point, yes, I think it's something that separates the panels, which then keeps the transmission of sound waves
into the other side. It must be a membrane there. But either way, it is, you know, I don't know what it is.
There it is.
Yeah,
that's
we're looking
it.
At. I don't know how much more it is than regular sheetrock.
It's like double, three times more. But boy, does it make a difference.
It is worth the investment, Matt.
Yes.
So you're doing that in the poker room.
Yeah, the poker room we got, and then I ran the new air conditioning ducting. And, you know, here's what I hate about the AC stuff. You know, they unless you have the B license for being an HVAC guy, you know, you call up a store and go, hey, I need a mini split. And they're like, who is this? And you're like, you know, Big House Construct. Well, you have a B license. I'm like, do you have price? And they won't even give you pricing. It's like this secret Shriner Club of Mason guys that won't divulge the license numbers so that you have to hire an HVAC guy. How did they do that where you can't go in and buy your own ducting unless you have a license to be a HVAC guy?
Why I don't know. That, yeah, I remember.
Why is that license the only one that prevents you from buying stuff?
Yeah, I remember that running into that with glass. Where they right. go, what's your license number? And like, I'm a friend of Steve's. Well, I don't know a Steve. Exactly. Can I just buy this shit from you? Yeah, I think it's the wholesale versus the retail. I mean, right. what can't you get at a Home Depot these days?
Well, you know, like if like I was running ducting that, you know, was basically custom reducers that they don't mm-hmm. they only sell three different reducers at Home Depot, for uh-huh. example. Mm-hmm. But if you need something to fit in a bay that's a particular size and it's reducing down to one other size and great, you know, all that variety of stuff, you're limited and they only carry like three things at Home Depot or Lowe's.
Well, I've told people more than once, the local sheet metal shop, I mean, you go in there with a drawing on a cocktail napkin with a couple dimensions scribbled next to it and they will make that for you if in Correct. Fact you need that manifold or whatever, and
that's right,
it's relatively inexpensive for what they do. You can get, not in Stromer's particular case, I'm just saying in general, there is usually a sheet metal shop somewhere in town and you can go in there with a drawing and they don't need a CAD file or anything and that guy will bang that shit out.
Right.
All right, do you, Matt, have questions for us?
So many questions about life and love and the path to happiness, but I don't think we have time for that. So we'll do an email question, or excuse me, a video question instead. You can email us aceonthehouse@adamcarolla.com. Go to Ace on the Roof to see the videos. This one's from Bill.
Ace, Stromer, get it on. Stromer, coming to you from Wilmette, Illinois, next door to Evanston.
Yeah, well. Baby.
I've got this house that was built in 2008. It's got this, I call it a fake balcony over the front door. I'm going to go upstairs and show you the issue.
By the way, that's a nice area.
The issue is
looks nice.
There is a membrane over the roof, and that drain that's in the corner is about a half an inch above the membrane. So what you have is the water doesn't drain properly. So it's a level surface. There's no leakage, but I've heard a few different solutions to how to correct this so it drains properly. I'm interested to hear your guys' take on this. Thanks. Appreciate the answer.
Yeah, so what it is now is just a collection basin for water until it gets to a certain level, and then if you it's like a mosquito egg growing pond unless it goes above an inch and a half. That's an awful situation.
There's no scupper anywhere.
Doesn't look like it.
So he's saying that the water, the balcony's 6 foot, 7 foot. 7 foot wide and 4 foot yeah. deep, and it's just fake, and it's just above the door, and the water just gathers and kind of goes into a gutter, but the gutter leads nowhere.
And it all, but it also drains too high. It's like a bathtub overflow.
Yeah, but is it, Gary? You heard the call. Is it possible that water goes nowhere?
I think it does drain. It just doesn't drain unless it goes to that level where the drain is.
From looking at it, I think that what we're dealing with is like when the gutters get overloaded. I think those gutters go away from that balcony, but when the gutters get a little overloaded, then the water starts to spill over, and that's what he's dealing with.
Well, have you seen the commercials where the hot chick has gone to the gutter expose? She sits next to her elderly husband, and when they go, how many of you clean your own gutters? And her hand goes flying up, and then she's got tons of questions for the guy from the gutter system.
I have. I think that's her father, actually. That's
by the way.
Oh,
by
it's
the
her
way,
dad.
I know that the dad is a friend
oh,
of mine.
Oh, that's right. That's
and
right.
And then that guy uses me in his brochures from a Today Show episode I did like 4 years ago.
Well, I don't know anything about show business. Is that young woman really his daughter?
Hell no.
What?
How dare they? No, hell, it took 1,300 women to audition to become that guy's daughter.
Okay, but in Bonanza, those guys were really brothers, they're, right?
Yeah, Haas was real, but everybody else was cast.
What do you mean Haas was real?
Haas was a real wrangler. He is the only one.
He was there else, before they started shooting?
They came there and Haas was there waiting.
But how come that guy's name is Dan Blocker?
I can't tell you that right now.
All right. But on the Ponderosa, Lauren Green was or wasn't related to Haas?
Haas was the only guy who was existing there, and then everyone else showed up from Hollywood.
So he was on the Ponderosa.
Waiting.
Well, how would he have known if he was waiting? You know, and I feel like he would have been working.
Right. I guess it was a surprise casting.
All right. Sort out your thoughts a little more clearly.
Let me get it together.
Okay, so... let me hear the end part of that. Let me hear the halfway point of that one more time. Sorry. I feel like I need a refresher.
So the issue is there is a membrane over the roof, mm-hmm. and that drain that's in the corner is about a half an inch above the membrane. So what you have okay. is the water doesn't drain properly. So it's a level surface. There's no leakage,
it's
but
like a tub, bathroom.
I've heard a few different solutions
okay.
to how to correct this so it drains properly.
Okay.
I'm interested to hear your guys' take
okay.
on this.
Let's do it. You have a membrane.
It's a failed job, though. Why is that? Why would you put the drain an inch and a half above the bottom?
I have been guilty of this myself. Not... It's not the drain that I've been guilty of. It's not putting the proper slope on certain things like decks for runoff and stuff like that. I've definitely screwed the pooch on that one a few different times. And so I'm taking ownership of it. What I'm saying is you now want to build up the membrane. All right. Well, you know, what you don't want to do is tear off the membrane and put more plywood down. I mean, there's a few ways to do it. Stromer, what do you think of this? They have that rubberized kind of Dexa Tech, Dexa whatever, rubberized. I've used it a few times, like a rubberized deck coating. Could we build that stuff up and trowel it down toward that drain? Could we yes. build that up 5/8 or 3/4 of an inch, or just build it up to the drain height and get it moving toward, or should we do a cement
do like
based product?
Yeah, or tile. You could tile it and slope it to the drain.
All right, let's not tile it. Let's say we build it up with some like feather float type stuff, move it that way, and then put the rubberized decking over the cementuous stuff.
Yeah, the only problem is where he lives, it, you know, you get a shit ton of snow and rain in the spring, so there's freeze thaw issues, and the membrane has to withstand those very varying temperatures. So we got to make sure that the product is suitable for the Midwest, right? The stuff we use out here would not fly.
I don't know if it would or wouldn't, but I agree. You got to factor in the seasons over there.
You would have to, basically the only reason I said tile, it's some version of getting zero is where the drain starts and then building up there, you know, 1/4 inch per foot to the perimeter of the deck so that it all travels downward. And I don't know how else to do that unless you pull it all out and reframe the deck and and get everything graded and then put that membrane on top of your new framing and plywood subfloor,
yeah,
or go cement and tile application kind of a scenario where, well, you've got the membrane and the cement on top of that and then everything slopes with cement to the drain.
Well, right now you have the drain hanging up half an inch.
Correct.
So I could compromise and say, why don't we just bring the entire surface up to the drain? And it's always, there's going to be a little standing water, but it's not going to be 5/8 of water, half inch of water. It's just going to be standing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, because I don't want to build it up 2 inches on one side.
Yeah, I mean, you could do it like a shower pan. You could basically configure it that way.
Well, you're going to start at half an inch.
That's zero. Yeah.
That's zero.
Yeah.
When you get 7 feet over to the right, I don't want you to be at 2.5 inches. I'm saying start at a half inch and go up to a maximum of an inch. Just around, and it'll be that direction. It's not going to be the kind of drop off that you're looking for, but that'll be the direction it goes, right?
And as long as you're, I mean, it's so small, it's only like 6 feet wide by 4 feet, so it's not a huge thing.
Yeah, right. All right. So start at a half inch. Don't go higher than an inch at the furthest point. Get the water moving that direction. Look for a cement-based feather floaty type product, but you're going to have to check if you can put that on top of the membrane because it's going to want to pop. I mean, you're going to have to use, you're going to have to clean that membrane and use a bunch of glue, I would say, too, before I put that stuff down. Because
I feel like you got to redo it and get new framing or concrete under it.
Well, no one's walking on it. We got that working for us. You know what I mean? Because when you walk on something, it's going to pop, right?
Right.
Gary, see if there's some.
You do get snow that sits on it.
True. See if there is a rubber-based decking system that you can build up to, you know, 3/4 thickness or something like that. Anyway, look, in lieu of tearing the whole fucking thing apart, that's the direction I would go. Build it up, put some rubberized decking paint on it, and call it good until it's time to do the whole thing.
Okay. How about this? How about the other option is just tear out the drain aspect to it and lower the drain.
Yeah,
and then flange the drain.
That's a good call. That was kind of plan B. I was kind of thinking about either you have to lower the drain or you have to raise the surroundings. Now, I don't know if you can lower the drain. You may have to get a multi-tool and cut the rim of the drain. You know what I mean? Right. And it's going to be a little ugly.
But you could then do... You could do a, you know, the circle, you know, they do the Pasco liner material or whatever you use for exterior decking, like a torch down situation over the hole you've made so that at least you'll have watertight seal there. And then you don't have to interrupt the whole deck system.
Yeah, there's definitely a version. I mean, the house is pretty new, so I'll bet you the drain is ABS. It's probably ABS. And you can probably cut that. Ooh. You know what I'd cut that with? A wheel. I would cut it with a Dremel and a wheel from the inside.
Oh, that's good.
I would, a thin wheel. I would.
And then maybe get an insert into the ABS to lower.
Right. Yeah. And then, then goo it up after that. All right. Try that.
Yeah.
Try that first. See what happens.
Yeah.
Jason, 40, Iowa.
Hey, what's going on?
Hi, guy.
Oh, my God. Hey, my gutters leak on the corners. They leak quite a bit. And I've gotten up there with the caulk gun and all that before. And it seems like they just keep leaking maybe every couple of years or whatever. And I got this Flex Seal. Do you guys know about Flex Seal?
My favorite commercial on TV. The guy built himself a fan boat out of a screen door, Stromer.
How dare he?
Haven't you seen that commercial?
Of course I have. And I marvel at it. It's almost better than when the guy used to glue his helmet to the girder above.
With the crazy glue.
Yeah,
I'll just sit home and watch Flex Seal and the gutter commercials. I'm a pig in shit. I'm disappointed when the program comes back on. Ooh.
Do you think that would work for gutters?
Yes. You know what? You know how they have the, remember in the mall, they'd have the As Seen on TV store?
Oh, sure.
Still do.
They still do, right. All right. There's a thrill to buying stuff you've seen on TV just in person at the mall. There should be an all infomercial channel where I would just, and they'd have a classics, you know, on the weekends showing the great ones from the past. You know, all the Popeil commercials.
Yeah, the Pocket Fisherman.
The Pocket Fisherman, Top Coverage, the spray paint you put on your bald spot.
What about the old Flobee?
The Flobee. There's a bottle cutter one where you, like, make your own glasses out of Pepsi bottles.
That, yeah. We had, like, a compass component to it. It would circle around the bottle.
Right. Yeah. I would watch that station.
Yeah, I would too.
Yes, I know nothing about Flex Seal other than that guy successfully took a fan boat, skinned it with screening, and then made it watertight. And then the other one where he just put the big splotch on the bucket that was leaking. I think it's a good call. And by the way,
all right,
you can obviously, once you go up top, you know, do it on the inside of the gutter.
Hi, Phil Swift here for Flex Tape, the super strong waterproof tape.
Oh, not the tape, Gary. We need the schmutz.
That can instantly patch.
Or maybe he's going to get to it.
He'll get to it, but you referenced the tape. That was why I started there.
Oh, sorry. Did I say
tape? But wait,
tape?
But wait, yeah, wait, wait, wait.
Huh?
Hey,
you
listen.
Said the tape over the big bucket.
Oh. I thought I said the... Oh, now we got to check the tape.
Hey, can I ask you a question, though? There was a cut before we saw... Run it back, Gary, because there was a cut. I don't think it's legit.
Swift here for Watch this cut. Tape, the super strong waterproof tape.
Cut. See? I don't know.
I
that
buy
can
it.
Instantly patch, bond, seal, and repair. Flex Tape is no ordinary tape. Its triple-thick adhesive virtually welds itself to the surface, instantly stopping the toughest leaks. Leaky pipes can cause major damage.
I want my goo, Gary.
Bonds instantly. Plus, Flex Tape's powerful...
Sorry, I thought I said big slot.
I don't know. I'm going to get some of that tape now.
Nah, don't get the tape. Get the spackle. That's the one you want.
All right. Well, to our caller, make sure that those gutters are cleaned out and dry.
Right.
Thoroughly dry. Try and get the dust out of there with maybe if you have a blower at home, you know, put a mask on, blow the gutter out, let it dry out, and then make your repair.
Yeah, make sure it's all super clean and super dry. And then and be careful on that
ladder.
Well, I was
going to spray it from the bottom. I can't spray it from the bottom, huh?
Well, no.
Better inside.
No. The you spray it from the bottom, it's going to make a big nutsack pouch when it starts draining. When it starts leaking.
All right, that makes sense. All right, thanks.
But hey, to Adam's point, thanks, get somebody to hold that ladder. Don't just go up there and screw around.
But don't bother from the bottom. As a matter of fact, how's the roof? Can you get up on the roof?
Well, it's kind of high. That's why I was going to get it from the bottom. I don't like getting up there with the caulk and all that. I've done it a few times, but... a little high for me.
Well, okay, so Jason, let's just be practical here, because a lot of guys fall off ladders. It's a big issue, and I don't want you to become a statistic. Go out and invest in a decent ladder that'll safely get you to that height. Have the neighbor kid hold the ladder for you or your wife or something, and then get up there and get it from the inside out. Don't bother from the bottom. It's not going to work.
Thanks.
Okay, Jason. All right, do we have Billy Swift, or what's his name?
I think it's Phil Swift.
Phil Swift.
Can you imagine?
Here for Flex Paste, the incredible rubberized paste.
This is what I
right
want.
Out of the tub. Flex paste is super thick.
Look at
it
that.
It clings to the surface.
Wow.
And
it's taking a hatchet to that wall.
It instantly fills gaps and holes.
He's going crazy.
Flex paste penetrates deep into hard to reach areas. You can spread it, shape it to take on just about any form.
Hold on a second.
On wood.
So far, all the things he's illustrated, I could do with a jar of creamy peanut butter. So far. At this point, slapping it on the wall, skimming over big holes, spreading it. If I had a thing of Peter Pan, smooth peanut butter, and a spackle knife, I could achieve all that he has achieved thus far. Now,
you could use butter too if it was the right temperature.
Yes, you're right. Here we go.
Wood, metal, all types of surfaces. And once it dries, it turns to this.
Still peanut butter.
Flexible rubber. Expands and contracts.
Yeah.
Flex paste is tough stuff.
Oh, wait a minute. It's got a chainsaw. It's going in a barrel. Oh, man.
Now that's a lot of damage. But with flex paste, you can create a watertight seal. Flex paste rubberized coating is UV, chemical, and mildew resistant. In
we got it, Gary.
Heat.
All right. Jeez, it's a wonder product.
That's a wonder product.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great if during the scene where Jack Nicholson is trying to get into the bathroom and in The Shining, she had flex paste and she just patched up the axle?
Here's what? What's
Ryan,
going on?
Wait, what?
What happened? All right, do your spots, Romer.
Are you kidding? Oh, man, I can't wait. Are you kidding me? So, folks, let me ask you a question. Do you own or do you rent your home? Well, sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. Now, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. Now, that's a good thing. Why? Because you already have so much to do around your home. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It is GEICO easy. That's G-E-I-C-O, geico.com. Visit geico.com today.
All right, Matt, you have another question for us?
Yeah, we got an email question here from Travis. Ace and Stromer, opening our garage door sounds like an earthquake in the bedrooms above it. My old lady now doesn't want me parking in the garage if I have to leave for work before our son wakes up. I don't pay for a garage to not park in it, so something must be done. I've researched new garage openers. Mine is driven by a chain, which is noisy. I want to ask about the cheap fix. Adding 3/4-inch rubber to the mounting screws to ease the vibration and sounds upstairs? Or do I just need to replace the whole motor drive mechanism to something quieter like a belt drive? I have no interest in messing with the springs of the door, but I think this is something I can handle. Second, the original installer rigged it up with conduit and not slotted angle iron, making any adjustments challenging. I think I'll have to rebuild it with slotted angle iron to allow for the extra 3/4-inch rubber with the cheap method or for a full reinstallation. There's only so much setup there to lag a bolt into. Would it be better to attach the angle iron to a painted white 1x6 and lag that onto the studs rather than reusing the holes from the previous installation? Thanks.
Oh, I think the isolation vibration scenario is the probably the best fix with a 2x6 across the top that's also on a gasket, right?
Mm.
So you would do a gasket, then the 2x6, then another gasket, then your new angle iron on the gasket so that it's all isolated.
Hey, Gary, go in tight on the picture of the motor, the garage unit. I just want to see if I can see it. So he took EMT, electronic or electromagnetic tubing or whatever it was, and he just crimped it and bent it and did it, and it's looks a little jerry-rigged to me. Thank you. And the way they do these things is they get that sort of angle iron with all the holes in it that I think electricians use that stuff a lot, but it's good for like hanging lights and stuff like that, and then they'll just whack it up and It's all adjustable. So, yeah, go that direction. The crimping and the EMT stuff, it just seems very Bush League to me.
I would also measure, though, the distance from its existing position from the ceiling and make sure that your new angle iron is the same angle and distance from the ceiling as it is now, because he probably got it worked out so it's the right angle. You don't want to have it too low.
Yeah, well, he was talking about making that adjustment for the rubber isolators. Are we looking at rubber isolators? It's kind of interesting. Okay. I am not a huge fan of... I don't know if those rubber isolators are, they're machined on screw on both sides, it looks like to me. I don't know that those rubber isolators are the way to go, but all right, let's work it out, Stromer.
Yeah. Well, first of all, there's a bunch of soundproofing websites that'll show you isolation. You know, there's also mass load vinyl. There's all sorts of products that are thin membranes that can give you the separation between the stud and the ceiling, so the vibration is taken through the membrane, right? So look there also, but go ahead, Adam.
All right. He's got it right to get your right angle, multi-hold slotted right angle stuff, erector set stuff, and put it together that way.
Right.
The next thing is get some grease, trying to think of lithium grease or something, and grease up the tracks real good. I know he doesn't want to fuck with the tracks, but get some lithium grease and make sure everything is totally lubricated as best you can, and probably including the chain drive as well. Then we're getting into the existing holes, because the thing goes through the drywall and into the existing studs or joists that are in the ceiling. Yeah, I'm kind of wondering about using the existing holes. You're going to have to kind of figure that one out. Like, are these things yoked out? And do I need to put what he was describing as a one-by kind of mounting plate almost on it? Stromer was talking about two-by, because one-by is not enough. I mean, that's 3/4 of an inch. You know?
And you also, I think, you know, you want to make sure that the reason it's making the noise is because it's vibrating the framing when it goes up and down. So you want to make sure that there's you know, essentially lubrication in the form of some membranes on all sides. So whatever attaches to the framing wants to have some sort of a membrane between the drywall and your wood.
Yeah,
and then put the unit itself on more like the things that he showed us in that picture. That would be great to attach the opener to the wood, but from the wood into the stud, you should also have another membrane, right? So two layers of them.
Well, let's dissect. I like the notion of right now you have the motor. The garage door motor mounts going directly into the joist, and on the other side of the joist is your son trying to sleep, or most likely masturbate. But either way, he's
isn't that the wife in there?
I don't know. Well, don't make it
don't
make
the
it weird.
Son and the, don't get the son and the wife masturbating.
I can't remember who's up there.
Don't do it.
It was the son.
It was the son.
Yeah.
Come on, Stromer.
Sorry.
Don't make it weird. I think the mom's in there sleeping with the son. So here's all I'm saying. I agree with that. Now, it is going to be a little tricky, because one by is not going to be enough to mount to, and two by is going to be ugly as shit. So what you may, if you wanted it to look aesthetically strong, I would take two pieces of a shop grade ply, like a higher grade ply, cut out a 2-foot by 2-foot panels, two of them, and chamfer the edges, paint it white, and mount that up. Just double it up. And then lag those into the existing joist and then mount the motor to that.
But I would put like mass load vinyl above the plywood, hit touching the drywall.
Yeah. It ain't gonna hurt. I mean, you know what you could do? What I would do, I think, is I would get a roll of that like 8-inch wide or 6-inch wide bitchathane. Or where the hell is Phil?
Right. Oh, the Flex Seal guy.
Flex Seal guy. Yeah, get some of that rubber tape. No, I would take some of those. I would take a roll of bitchathane, the flashing, the rubberized flashing, and put a few rows of that. You could even go one way and then go the other way and get that rubber bitchathane between the drywall and the 1x that I was mounting on the ceiling.
Right. But we have to isolate the plywood from the framing somehow, because it's just going to, what we don't want to do is transfer the vibration of the motor into the framing.
Well, you're going to, it ain't rocket fucking science. I mean, it is, it's not going to be perfect. I'm looking to not change the elevation too much, because now we're getting into an elevation change, which he can make up with his slotted right angle metal. I would say, top of my head, double up the shop grade ply, put a finished edge on it, sand it up, you know, make it nice, put some sort of rubberized bitchathane or rubber something, put it up to the drywall, lag it into the drywall, and then mount into that and use the isolators as you mount into that. And at a certain point, we're just going to call it a day.
Yeah, because you're also in a sound transference box called your garage, which is probably not insulated very well, and it's going to always make some noise.
Right. And
so tell the kid to quit masturbating and move to his sister's room.
It's going to help. You always got to get the mom and the sister involved, don't you? Stromer. It's going to help a little bit. It's not going to. At a certain point, you're probably right in that you're going to need the quiet motor with the belt drive or something. All right, what do you got, Matt?
We got another email question from Robert. Hey, guys, I have a large rock in my basement that I'm taking out to make more room. Luckily, it's shale, so it's flaky. Whoa. And comes out kind of easy with a hammer, drill, iron, and pick. Do you guys have experience with any expanding mortar mix that you pour into the drill holes and it breaks the rock for you? Is it worth the money? Or should I just upgrade and rent a jackhammer? I'm worried about the jackhammer because half the foundation is on the rock. Wouldn't the jackhammer cause too much vibration for the blocks that are sitting on the rock? Thanks. And then he included a couple extra facts. The house was built in 1958. It's only 900 square foot, so I could use any extra space I can get and would make a great root cellar if I can get most of the rock out. Not sure why the original owner didn't take the rock out before he built the place.
Wow.
Man, I don't know if I'd mess too much with what the foundation is sitting on. Like, I don't think you can just take it out. You'd have to leave a good maybe 2 feet of that rock on either side of the wall, don't you think?
It's quite the dilemma. First off, I'm unaware of expanding mortar that would break up a rock. Expansive demolition. Yeah, tell us what that is, Gary. I've never used that before.
Let me search for it. He just sent this picture along. It's a screenshot, but I'll try to find the product.
Expansive demolition.
I mean, Adam, don't you think he's got to get an engineer to look at the... Because that's on a hill, a little bit of a hill. You can't just start removing parts of the foundation that are holding it in place.
I guess if they put the foundation on top of the rock, that's probably not a great plan. To answer your question, if you want to take out some of that rock, I would rent a chipping hammer. Like, I don't think I would get a full-blown jackhammer down there, but you can get a decent size. You can rent a decent size one, go at it. but stop a good ways from your foundation.
So this product that he's talking about, Dexpan Non-Explosive Demolition Agent, is a cement with I'm reading from the website, with an amazing 18,000 PSI expansive strength when mixed with water. Poured into pre-drilled holes, Dexpan can crack and split concrete and rock safely and quietly while providing silent cracking, safe, easy, and cost-effective.
What the hell, man? Never heard of this product. Stromer, but wouldn't you think if you drilled a hole and you put this expansive stuff into it, it would just push out of the hole?
I don't. It's like voodoo to me. I don't know. I've never seen it or used it, and I don't, you know, if it's soft shale and you're jackhammering it, I don't even know if it's going to matter to drill a hole to do anything anyway, because it'll come out easy enough with a chipping hammer.
Yeah, I wouldn't get into the expansive stuff.
But I think that you could roughly cut some areas with your chipping hammer, but you got to keep, you know, I don't want to advise you taking a lot of this out because your whole house is sitting on it. So you need to find a way to engineer a little bit, or at least have somebody come look at it and go like, don't take out more than 2 feet on either side of this wall.
Yeah.
And sign off on that before you start undermining what the house is based on.
Yeah, I agree with Stromer. All right, let's do one more, Matt.
Sure thing. We got one more email here. It's from Mike. Hey, guys, get it on. First, I wanted to thank you for the help on the gate I built about 2 years ago.
I remember this, dude.
Ace, I know you hate gate with wheels, but this baby weighs 375 pounds. I couldn't figure out a better way. Fine. Here's my question today. I have a large backyard here in Yorba Linda, California, and I have
Matt, stop. Go back. He did the wrong angle on.
No, he went the right direction.
No. Look at it's hanging the wrong direction from the post.
No, it's not.
The angle that goes down to the bottom, that's supposed to be on the top down.
No, it's not. He's going the right direction.
Adam, it's got to hang off the top of the gate. You see what I'm saying?
Well, you're trying. You don't want the gate. Let's see. You don't want the gate to rack. Are you talking about the diagonal?
I'm talking about the diagonal should be from the top right down to the lower left corner.
I know a lot of guys, I've seen it done that way a lot, but how does that stop it from racking?
It doesn't. It stops it from sagging.
It does?
Yeah.
But isn't sagging racking?
No, sagging is falling off. Lowering because of the weight, it's lowering down without anything strapping it to the top right side of the post. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, but I still think he's going the right direction. And Gary's going to have to look at this.
The wheel saves him.
Yeah, but even if you're doing a small gate like the one next to it, you want that piece going from the high point down to low point so it doesn't rack, so to give it shear strength, right?
Shear is fine. You can have that, but you really want it going from the hinge side on the where it's mounted up down to the lower corner that's hanging, because it keeps it from sagging lower.
Holds
it in place.
I do not get that logic. I feel like I've seen it both ways.
Yeah.
But it makes more sense to me, if you don't want it to sag and rub, to have it going from the upper right down to the lower left on the hinge. I don't know. Gary, look it up. I'm confused now.
Yeah.
All right. Either way, he built the gate.
Anyway, it's working. Yeah, it looks good.
Stromer's not a fan. I appreciate you, man.
Yeah.
I love our listeners. All right, go ahead.
All right, so his question today has nothing to do with the gate. He has a large back. Yeah, I tried. Mm-hmm. Nice. I have a large backyard here in Yorba Linda, and I have some pooling over the septic tank's leach field. The picture is the muddy area closest to the pavers. He says, I didn't have this problem until a month ago when I graded the backyard to get water to move away from the home. Now I'm getting water to stay in this 12x12 area, and it gets worse every time I use indoor plumbing. The soil is largely clay, and I plan to add gypsum to loosen the clay and improve the drainage. My plan is to install a French drain in the far rear corner and install some hedges along the funky fence you see in the photo. I'm also taking on some rainwater from my neighbor's property, and I plan to make a swale to irrigate the hedge. What do you think I should do?
Wow. I think he knows a lot more than I do about
this. Wait, he has that's a septic system?
That's what he said, yeah.
So, you know, there's leach. I used to live up in Topanga. It's all on septic. And there, you know, so there are old septics where the water collects in one part of the tank and then it leaches out into a field. And it's designed so that the water disperses out into the soil, right? Mm-hmm. But then there are newer versions of it where it's all self-contained and just sits in the tank. So if the septic is an old style and it's leaching out into the yard, that means that it'll always be wet because he's removed the soil that used to disguise where it got wet, right? By grading it.
Yeah.
So we got to find out if he's got an old style septic or a new one. And then the compounded by the rainwater washing into the yard, the low point is where water will gather and always be there, which is kind of a tough thing.
Here's what I would say. Speaking of grade, I feel like this is above my pay grade. I really do not know a lot about septic and leaching and soil composition. I really don't. And I have worked with drainage engineers before, and there is such a job. And I would definitely consult with like a certified drainage engineer before I started going down a road on this, you know. 100%. So, you know, I'm going to kind of tap out here and say I would hate to give you some bad advice on this pretty complex issue that I don't know much about. So I would say before you rent a Bobcat or get the shovel out, get a guy who does drainage, who knows septic, who knows that world, and get like a soils report and get a drainage engineer and really figure it out. All right, Gary, did you figure out anything in the gate department?
I have found articles that make you both right. I will say that a slight favor goes to the way Adam was saying to do it, but there are ardent supporters of both of your positions.
Well, this is Gate now because it's a controversy. Gate. It's a controversy. Well, see. Here's how it feels to me.
Yeah.
If you made a square out of drinking straws,
right,
and you wanted it to not sag at the open end, you held it on one end and you open it there, I would take a drinking straw and go from the top corner down to the bottom where my hand was holding it. That right. feels like less. And then opportunity and then to and sag. Then
in my explanation, if your hand were holding the drinking straw, you'd want the tensile strength coming from the upper part of my hand down to the lower corner that's holding it from sagging.
Right. But I feel like it'd be less sag strength in that. Well, either way. Yeah. All right. So
gate.
So, Gary, when you do diagonal support on a gate,
like I said, I can find you articles to make each of you right. Here's the one that I would say most supports Adam's view. Let's see, it's coming up. I'm going to share it to you guys.
Right, load right. If you're building, that makes sense. But then there's ones going the other direction.
Yep,
and it's equal. Or it's more this one.
I would say it's trending more towards yours, but it's not 70-30. It's, you know, 60-40. It's close.
I wonder why you'd get it. Gary, you know numbers. You know math pretty good.
Yeah.
Your dad's a successful guy.
This is fun.
Doesn't it feel to you like you'd get more strength out of this when you look at the load versus the other direction?
When I listened to you explain it, I agree with you. When I first looked at it, I agreed with Strummer that I would want the power to come from the top where it's swinging, but that is just a visual thing. And when you explain it, I tend to come around to your thinking.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. If you did the direction it's going right now, and you just look at the arrow for the load, What if you took the arrow and you flipped it and put it at the bottom corner and the load went up? Doesn't it feel like it would move easier? All right, gate.
See, what I understand what so what you're saying is that the if it's rigid from the lower left corner up to the top right, that is holding it in position. My idea of it is more like if you're trying to keep the load of the weight off the corner, then you want to hold it from the top.
Mm-hmm. All right. Gate.
I don't know. Gate.
April 14th, Nashville, Tennessee, Zanies. May 7th and 8th, Appleton, Wisconsin, Skyline Comedy Club. June 18th and 19th, Golden, Colorado, Stromer. Buffalo Rose.
Yeah, that's Coors.
Yeah, you go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows. You can check out our Pluto station, 585. We got a lot of content there. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Eric Stromer. Say it. Mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.